on waste, municipal solid waste. And this evening we will be talking primarily about plastics and packaging. But to bring us up to speed, for those that weren't with us last night, we started the whole program with the comments in the beginning. Seems like every time I turn around up here this time, I am running into Genesis. But that is where we will start. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the night from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And as I said last night, I ran out of big print, so I'm going to have to shift. In this, we see that God on the second, or the third and the fourth and the sixth day, God created the flowers, all of the flora, and then he created the fowls and the fish in the sea, and lastly he created man to take charge of all of this creation. And he also added a woman in there to keep things stirred up. But in the process of creation, he created the first plastics. Skin fits into the plastic category. The sinews, the bark on a tree, anything that holds it together, plastics, wood fiber. And he also created the first municipal solid waste. And thank God for this, because we are now mining his landfills for oil and coal and tar and you name it. This has given us, as Michael said in the lecture just before dinner, that we are using the earth as our pantry. And this was all created in the beginning. Now there are, since this is going to be for the plastics portion, I'm going to this is the breakdown of the total solid waste that is generated within the United States. I was my figure that I had from 1990 was 160 million tons per year, and I just received notice that now that amount has reached 230 million tons per year. But you see here how the percentages, and this is averages, you have glass at 2%, metals at 12.1, plastic at 19.9, paper 34.1, and other wastes of 31.9%. Made up of miscellaneous and food waste and yard waste. But now Let's see how much of this goes into plastics or into packaging. Packaging constitutes about 30% of the total solid waste mass. We have plastics. Comes in here.
He's all by volume now again, right?
Pardon me?
He's by volume.
This is by volume. That's 8.2% of the total. Metals. Is 3.8%. Glass comes in at 1.8%, and the other, as you would expect, is quite low at 1.3%, and paper constitutes 14.3%.
Of what?
That is of the total package. And this will all, what you see here is going to add up to 30% if I did my math correctly. Now, that then, with that in mind, and you see how much material that we're going to be working with. Let's see if I can get this thing put into the business of how the various components, how these components break down in the plastics system. Now this amount, we'll be talking about this amount of material, 8.2%. This is what we'll be talking about. Now we have, I'm going to see if I can remember some of my lines. It gets to be a neat trick. Now what happened to it? Of the total packaging component of the solid waste, paper constitutes 48%, plastics 27.3%, metal checks in at 13.2%, and glass checks in at 6.1%, and other is 4.8%. Now you can see that the paper, as you can see, is the largest component of the packaging. Plastics comes in with a good solid second. Metals, you can see, 13.2%. And the glass 90% of the glass that you're pointing at me, what for?
Step back so we can see it.
Oh, that. Oh, I've got mine here. I can see it from here. It's always nice to have a kibitzer long. The glass is 90% of the glass has that is thrown away is falls into the packaging area. 42% of the paper that is thrown away comes into packaging. 41% of the plastics comes into packaging. With metals, you got 32, or about a third of the metals that are thrown away comes into the packaging area, and the other is only 4.3%. In other words, you wouldn't expect to package much material in yard waste or food waste, and miscellaneous, I don't know what that is, but that could be the portion that comes into the packaging area. So now you see where the best areas are to work to reduce the municipal solid waste. We can concentrate heavily on paper, we can concentrate heavily on plastics, and do a bit of a job on the metals.
Mark, before you erase that, do you have any idea what of these packaging materials are, I would consider, necessary as opposed to ones that are just there for the thrill? If you're going to buy a jar of pickles, you've got to have a container for the pickles.
That's right.
As opposed to having that jar inside a box. The box then becomes frivolous.
Okay, now.
Do you have any idea how...
I have no knowledge of what you're asking for, but this is one of the areas where you can reduce the throwaway portion of your purchases, and that is one of the ways. Now the next item, anything else on this? If not, I want to write a few words down. There, the EPA and other government agencies have come up with four primary ways of handling solid waste. One of them is, see if we got one here that works. Number one, source reduction. Now it's up to you to be thinking of how you personally can enter into this source reduction. That'd be a good one in here someplace. Two. Hey, that's pretty. Two, let's see, what do we do? Let's go for recycling. And three, incineration. And four, landfill. Now those are the four ways that you can, well, that is the four ways that you currently think of it. You can fit in most any one of these methods of handling the problem into these four categories. Now, since we're going to be talking primarily about plastics, we'll come back to each one of these as we go along. In the packaging area, there are four, or rather, not four, we have seven different categories of plastics. You're familiar with low-density polyethylene. And high-density polyethylene. You're familiar with polystyrene, and of course the kicker on that one is styrofoam, and you have polypropylene. We've never talked much about polypropylene, but it is it's referred to PS. Yes, it's PP. You're familiar with polyethylene. Tear. Phthalate, isn't that a sweet one? I'm gonna get a low grade on that. And this one is known as PET or PET. And we have polyvinyl chloride. PVC, and then we have other, and that covers a multitude of sins in that I would hate to have to number, let alone name, all of the plastics that are available to us. Now, In the plastics industry itself is an excellent source of information on the business of how to handle, how to recognize and how to handle plastics, because they are as much interested in recycling as we are. So what do? They have gotten together and numbered these plastics, and number one is, where is number one? They have put this one in as number one. They have put the high density polyethylene in as number two. This has nothing to do with the total percentages, it's just the order in which they numbered them. And number three is PVC. Number four is low density polyethylene. Number five is the polypropylene. And number six is polystyrene, and they got seven down here in this group. Now,
What is the basis for the memory, Mark, do you know? What is the basis for...
Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's it.
Random.
Okay, now, they have taken to identifying the containers with this little sign. It is a triangle. And within this triangle will be your number. And below that, you're going to get the H. Oh, I didn't even get that far. This is HDPE. And they will have an HDPE. And this will be painted on, embossed, put in some manner permanently marking on that container. Now, the marking that you will find on your number one is going to be a one in the circle, and pet. So when you drink your pop, you can look at the bottle. Almost 100% of your bottled, the pop bottles that are plastic, are PET. Got the excellent characteristics for that. So, of the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 are essentially 100% recyclable. So now we've got the whole gamut of plastics in the solid waste stream are recyclable.
You skipped number 5. Is that not
number 5, the it's recyclable too. Tell you that if you've ever had little containers with plastic hinges, that's polypropylene. It is an excellent recycling bend characteristic. Surprisingly enough, they have that listed as one of the principal uses for that is in pancake syrup bottles. High density polyethylene, you find that in milk bottles, is the biggest use for it, but in bottles in general. It has good sturdy characteristics. Your low density polyethylene, great deal of that goes into films, all the way from so thin that you have a hard time finding it, to stuff that is heavy enough to make a roof out of. Your polyvinyl chloride, you will find that in detergent containers, this type of thing, and in hospital trays, hospital glasses.
That's the same as water pipes, yes.
And the water pipe, certainly, that is one of the places, one of them that we haven't mentioned in here that is very common in the way of the pipes is the ABS. ABS is the one I was trying to get. What I was trying to get was the A.
Now, if you sort those plastics into those six categories,
yes,
will they all then blend together?
No, they can. They can, but they would prefer to keep this one separate. They're giving them numbers so that they can separate.
No, I'm saying you made six piles in those six categories.
Yeah.
Would each of those six piles then be able to be melted together and recycled?
That's right.
In other words, all polystyrene can be put together.
Right. So you you have here an excellent opportunity to recycle. Well, now recycling is alive and well in your large communities. They have it going in New York. They got it in Pennsylvania. Got it in Illinois, Ohio. And this, they have made a concerted effort not only to collect the material, but also to put it back onto the market as usable products. The FDA says, no way can you reuse. This is directly back into bottle systems. And the same with high density polyethylene. They don't want it, even though you reprocess it. It still is not acceptable for directly back into food use. But there are just any number of recycled uses for it. And if you go out and pick up a plastic garbage can, that is recycled plastics. If you your recycling bins that you that are being used are recycled plastics. Ohio has an agreement with DuPont, working together with them to recycle the plastics, but they are using it for different uses in road control and road barriers, this type of thing.
What kind of plastic is used in tires?
Tires comes in butadiene styrene is one of them, and the nitriles, natural rubber is still the largest supplier for tires, surprisingly enough. But you find that I didn't even get tires into this. That is a problem unto itself. But that would be the elastomeric type of materials. They use it for belts and for gaskets and tubing, special tubing. And neoprene, for example, is one that withstands oils. Most of the other of them won't.
Just out of curiosity, they went through a lot of work to get these things all categorized, I guess, make this special symbol and put down the one and the PET, I guess. Are they going to put a barcode on there so they can be sorted mechanically instead of sorted by hand? This has to be read by people. They have to look at this and say, oh, that's a one. Oh, it goes over here. There's a five. It goes over there.
Yeah. Yeah, now this is...
Put a barcode on there so they can do it by a scanner.
Okay, this is a bit like, I suppose, learning how to walk. The industry started out with this. I'm sure that there's going to be a barcode on there, but that's going to be a neat trick to get a barcode on that on those that will be readable. But it can be done. That's the beauty, because there is a need. Somebody's going to invent it.
Just did.
Get a patent. I've got 12 of them.
Get a patent. Seven.
Are they in plastic? Do you have patents in plastic?
Yeah, I got one. I've got one co-authored on a new rotating pan method for expanding the polystyrene beads.
Oh.
If you ever want something that'll really frustrate you, spill some of those little beads on the floor. They're only about a millimeter in diameter, and they're hard. And you step on one of those things, it's just like getting into a room of marbles. But all of these, except the last one, were developed under industry-sponsored projects. So I got my name on the patent, got a publication, but that's all I got. I had the fun of doing it. But now, when you stop to think of it, recycling, to be really effective, has got to have one heck of a neat little infrastructure. And to make it economic, you can't go into a city like Holden and reducing the plastic waste. So I do what I can. Number one, if you have, let's take polystyrene for example. It is it's a wonderful material, and it is an aggravation. The density of that stuff is 0.005 with water as one. And that's the bulk density of these little peanuts. And the bulk density of the board is 0.03. So if you had 100 quarts of water, you would have a comparable volume that would fill up those 100 quarts would be would be a factor of only 3% of that 100, let's say 100 pounds water, of course, is 100 quarts is 200 pounds. You would have 6 pounds of the board would fill up the same 200 quarts. So you get a feel of what you're talking about. The amount of styrofoam that is on the market in any one year is going to cover a 100 square miles, 1 foot thick. That's a lot of space. That's a lot of material. And the industry wants that. They want it back. But my gosh, a box car full of that stuff. Nothing. You've got to reduce it. Oh heck, let's have a little show and tell. Here's some of your peanuts. And as you see at the bottom, is something I did to them. There's some more. We'll pass them along. And this is a grocery bag and a big chunk of film that we worked with. And take a good look at the stuff at the bottom there, and you'll see it's identical in shape. This, and you all know the ubiquitous coffee cups.
Yeah.
This.
Use them for the Eucharist now, couldn't we?
Sure.
No, that would be a good idea.
Yeah,
sure.
No kidding. The thing is that the little. peanut material was put in an oven at 212 Fahrenheit, and just the boiling point of water. And you'll see that there's some of it in there that is of the same material that has been heated somewhat higher. The highest I took the stuff was up to 300 degrees Fahrenheit. But this stuff doesn't stick to the pans. This was you can put it in a pan of any kind you want to. What I did, I just took a coffee can, a 2 pound coffee can, filled it as full as I could with the peanuts, and when I came out was just about what you see in the bottom of one of those little.
How long do you have to leave it in to do that?
Well, it depends upon the temperature. If you want to, if you take the temperature up to normal low baking temperature, it would take half hour. Fact is, what you could do, you bake a loaf of bread and you take the bread out. The oven is still quite hot, so you put a baking pan of peanuts in there and let them shrink.
Any other chemicals or anything into the air?
Well, I experimented with that as well. Got it by weight loss, and the weight loss between the original and the final product was less than 0.03%. There is something that is lost. It could be nothing more nor less, just the change in volume, because the large one is going to displace air, and air has weight. So the large object is going to, you have to account for the weight of the air that large object has taken into. I did not, and I have no knowledge of what the analysis of any gases that were given off of this, but there was no odor involved, and it's a neat little experiment.
Could this be water vapor being driven off, possibly?
Well, this stuff is completely incompatible with water. So I wouldn't expect even water vapor to attach to it on the surface.
Hey, we found that thing there. Could you, it says a 2 on it, and can you tell us anything else about the numbers?
HDPE is on the bottom.
Yeah, okay, that's your high density polyethylene. Mm-hmm. That's a good sturdy little container. Yeah, I don't know. I would suspect that there are some gases that come off. But what they are, I don't know at this point. There is no odor, so it's personally, I would have no concern about it. I would have no concern. You would have to make that decision for yourself. I wished I did.
Find an expert, because I mean, you know, the idea sounds great, but if you're going to put, you know, this stuff, let's say, in the oven, and then the next time you start putting food in there, this gas or whatever is in there and is bombarding your food and doing something it shouldn't. I mean,
okay.
I wouldn't know beans about that.
That is a question that should be put to the polystyrene consortium to find out. They undoubtedly have some information that would satisfy this. Now, you're not going to do this type of thing in New Jersey and Ohio, where they have their recycling system set up. you're going to do this where at Holden, where you want to reduce the volume of material that you dispose of. There are other ways of reducing the volume, and Holden has the facilities to do this. They are going to have to do a little designing and building. They can use the log splitter to make a compactor. Now you can reduce the volume of this material by this reduced about a factor of 100. And by compacting, you can get it down maybe by a factor of 10. But you can get it into a usable system. The bottles would all compact as well, and would greatly reduce the volume that would have to be sent out.
Maybe the reduction in weight, you said, maybe could the trapped air that was in it, in the pellets, in the peanuts, would that weigh something, the trapped air?
Oh yes, oh yes, yeah.
When I push my garbage together, I always take the tops off of the milk bottles.
Oh yeah, so it is.
It makes it a lot smaller.
Oh yeah. So there are things that we can do. But I would say that in situations where you're at Holden or in a community that is comparable in size or a factor of 100 or 1,000 of Holden, that your best bet is to go after the source reduction part, and that could apply to any and all of your solid waste.
These plastics decompose when you heat them too much. Like, did you get back into a styrene monomer again? Because that's pretty.
That is quite stable. In order to you would get some polystyrene monomer out of that if you burned it. But you got to do that, to break that down.
So that's pretty toxic stuff, I think, isn't it?
Oh, polystyrene?
No, styrene monomer.
Styrene monomer? Hmm. Oh, you don't. You're not going to sit and breathe it all day. Well, the polystyrene is used for mixed with chopped fiber to make your boat.
Well, as long as polystyrene, as long as it polymerizes, all right.
But yeah, as long as it polymerizes. But there is you do use the monomer, and it has a catalyst to make it set up. And so when you're working with polystyrene monomer, you work in a good ventilated area to do it.
Look at your skin.
Well, there are people that are quite sensitive to the monomers, allergic to them. We convinced our son to get out of the painting business simply because of all of the fumes that he had to be involved with. Got him into the area of certified coatings inspector, so he can tell other people what to do. So the thing is that what can you do as an individual to reduce the amount of material that you collect that's going to become waste, municipal solid waste? It's one thing you got to ask yourself. And as you can see, the paper area is one of them. You get your one thing that you can do, go back to your supermarkets and talk to the boys there. Hey, set up a box and recycle our plastic bags. We'll bring them in. All you, that's, you'll be the central spot to pick them up. Recycle your grocery bags the same way. Better than that, get yourself a nice net bag that you can carry with you when you go to the store to carry out your groceries. I haven't broken down to that point yet. I still carry them out in paper bags, and I feel real lucky if I get by with a $15 paper bag. Quite often they show up being $25. That's all I can stuff in.
Well, one of our stores there in Wichita will give you a nickel every time you bring a grocery sack back, and so they can use it over to put your groceries in.
There's
so that, just carry in.
Yeah.
You'll see people carrying in three or four sacks, and
yeah,
when they sack the groceries, if they use four of those sacks to sack the groceries, well, the cashier will give the person 20 cents.
Man, we got a gold mine.
But I always forget to take the darn sacks back.
Yeah.
Minnesota, you can do that, but you have to take your own out, bring your own in, take your own out.
Yeah. But you could have, and when you only have a few items to pick up, you have a little basket that you can take around the store. Why not own your own basket, or two of them? And that to me has more merit than the net bag. These are things that you could get that you could develop not only with you personally, but talk it up. Get a group together. Go after it.
How about getting into the world of electronic newspapers? So you have a service that you can dial up your newspaper electronically on your computer or your television or something.
Get rid of all the paper.
Yeah, that would be great. And then if there's something you particularly want, you can ask them, please send me a hard copy.
No, you just have a little printer that you print your own copy
for. I have to print my
password first. Yeah, but you know, that'd be a lot less paper than all that other.
Well, I tell you, that's not too far down the line.
Oh, I hope it's not.
Yeah. But all of these beautiful things that we're talking about, just think of the jobs that you are affecting. So maybe you are in the process of cutting down your municipal solid waste. You are creating more homeless.
Opening up new avenues.
You're actually creating more jobs, but you're changing. And the problem is those people who are the older people in the job that you're eliminating, there's where the real crunch comes, because
yeah,
they're too old to retrain.
Well, if they'd stop and think a minute, they're really not too old to train. Yeah, the industry's not interested in them because it costs them too much money to have them around.
That problem has gone on for forever. I mean, look back in history. That's always gone on.
What?
As technology has changed, the jobs have changed, and people are displaced from one kind of job, and a demand for a new kind of talent comes into its.
Now there's one that is quite true, and I have, shall we say, a negative comment to make. I hate it, but this was passed on to me by Scott, I'm holding here, and it reads, stamp out styrofoam. And I'm going to read it. Americans produce enough styrofoam cups every year to circle the earth 436 times. That's probably true. Background. What we think of as styrofoam is actually polystyrene foam. This material is made from benzene, a known carcinogen, converted to styrene and then injected with gases that make it a foam product. The gases often used are CFCs, the fluorocarbons, and the polychlorinated fluorocarbons, which eat ozone molecules, depleting the Earth's vital ozone layer. The alternatives to CFCs are not wonderful. One is HCFC, which is in the same general pattern, but it's only 95% less damaging than the CFCs, but still a threat to the ozone layer. Others are pentane and butane hydrocarbons, one kind of environmental problem for another. It's garbage. Polystyrene foam is completely non-biodegradable. It just will not go away, even 500 years from now. Of course, they have no basis on which to base that. It just will not go away. The foam cup that held your coffee this morning might be sitting on the Earth's surface because its very structure contains large amounts of air. All styrofoam, regardless of how it is made, takes up a lot of space for its weight. This means it wastes enormous amount of precious space at already bulging landfills. Polystyrene foam is deadly to marine life. It floats and is consumed. When sea turtles, for example, eat styrofoam, its buoyancy keeps them from diving. It clogs their systems and they starve to death. Simple things to do. There is no such thing as a safe polystyrene foam. Do not use it. Avoid foam packaging in egg cartons, disposable picnic goods, etc. If you eat at fast food restaurants, ask for paper cups and plates. And this comes from the Ecology Center at 2530 San Pablo Avenue, Berkeley, California. Scare tactics, that is the thing that is giving the environmentalists a bad name. First off, the business of eliminating styrofoam is absolutely a bad choice. It has such excellent characteristics. It is for the business of handling foods, the fast foods. I would guess that our friends McDonald is going to be back on the polystyrene foam wagon again. Probably it'll take a year for them to get out of the program that the environmentalist Everett Rupp managed to break through. But in any event, it costs more to produce the paper that is replacing the polystyrene in the food containers. There is far more waste in the waste stream from paper production. Practically none coming out of the production of the polystyrene. Well, polystyrene is produced from petroleum material, from methane and or coal gas. The processes, they're just no waste stream. You got a fantastic waste stream from your paper mills. Your polystyrene is non-biodegradable, but so is that piece of paper that has been treated to be used for the same purpose. And the paper is not recyclable, the polystyrene is. So I would say, in closing, I see I got a very pointed point to my watch. I want to put into a summary Municipal solid waste in the United States makes us marks us as an obscenely wasteful consumer society. We must do everything within our power to reduce our consumption and our waste. Much of our municipal solid waste is recyclable. Go home and concentrate on setting up programs of curbside collection, which we have in Tacoma finally, and or drop-off centers, which we also have. Convince your supermarkets to recycle plastic film and paper bags. Support your local material solid waste incinerator program. We didn't get to that. It is a very viable system. The energy available from the plastics alone is the same as the same weight of petroleum products. It has in the whole municipal solid waste system, the plastics have by far the highest energy value. And if there is no incinerator system in your community, then press your local government to get started on an incineration program. And after years of NIMBY and you name it, we have an incinerator, municipal solid waste incinerator in Tacoma that is used for generating electricity. And then number four, become an avid environmentalist to make sure that your environmental demands do not create more problems than they solve. And by all means, call on the experts, call the manufacturers of the plastics. They have some good programs to assist in the matter of recycling, reclaiming. There's got to be some way of bringing this material back into the marketplace again. Even if it means that you have a landfill that is segregated. This section of the landfill is for polystyrene, this section of the landfill is for polyethylene, etc. And that can be mined again at some later date. Or if you get to a point where I've got enough of it, then you can go ahead and transport it. I see that the Vespers is calling, and I'd be willing to stand and talk for another hour if you like.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Speaking of newspapers, just for kicks, one Thanksgiving time, which is the biggest newspaper of the year.
Yeah.
I live in L.A. I weigh the L.A. Times, I weigh 6 pounds. And they have a circulation of 1.5 million copies. So it's 9 million pounds of newsprint in one day in one city in one country.
Yeah.
9 million pounds of.
Boy, the pulp mills love it.
4,500 tons of paper in one day.
Paper mills.
Incredible. Yeah. About 100 truckloads of newsprint.
Yeah.
For one day.
Yeah.
So we can go back from taking our own cups to church now and we'll get coffee and juice.
And reduce them in size and use it for your celebrity for communion.
Just don't bring your hands. You
know. Now, why are they telling us that our recycling center only takes certain values of plastic? Well, they don't take everything.
Well, they probably don't have any way of handling it.
Okay.
They have a market for those particular groups.
All
right. Yeah, so, the whole driving force of this is economics.
We should also be pushing the people to create more and more Create new ideas of how you use the last
Actually, when you stop to think of it, the monkey is on each of our backs.
Yeah.
That's where it is. It isn't the fault of the manufacturers. So help me, they produce what we ask for.
What do you think about, I take it incineration of plastics you think is okay as far as the air is concerned?
Oh yes.
This isn't a pollution problem.
No.
Well, you know how at home you burn some polystyrene or something, and you get this.
Oh, you can get the, yes. That polystyrene is just a beautiful wax. And so is if you get, you've got to have the proper controls.
So if you've got a hot enough fire, it's okay.
You've got to have a hot enough fire. You've got to have scrubbers on the gases. So you don't do it in your stove and come out with a viable incineration system.
But in a community, as incinerator, it's okay.
Yeah.
Besides, you get a lot of energy.
Well,
isn't that good to hear?
Right.
Well, thank you, Mark. I'm so glad we came this week.
Well, thank you.